This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of your mind, having your understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbour, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather him labour, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamour, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. And this morning, we're going to take one verse from verse 9, a well-known beatitude, and perhaps it's a word which is for us in our lives this day. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. It was G.K. Chesterton who was reported to have written the shortest letter ever published in the Times newspaper. It was in response to the question, what is wrong with this world? Every one of us can have an idea. We can give our suggestions. The problem is Putin. We know there's injustice. There is much corruption. There is great greed. And we've all got our ideas of what's wrong with the world. And see, G.K. Chesterton simply wrote back, what's wrong with the world is me. And so it is, actually, when we think of all the things which are going on this day. You can think of the war especially, and there are wars in this world. Not just in the Ukraine and between Russia, and not only there in the Sudan and Ethiopia. There is a world which is at war. There is communities which are at war. Countries are at war. And sadly to say, there are also families so often which are at war. Conflict, tension, bitterness, resentments. All these things can come in to our lives. There be parents not speaking to children, and children not speaking to parents, and brothers not speaking to sisters, and sisters not speaking to brothers and sisters. And you say, well, what happened? Well, there was something long ago, some word which was spoken, some deed which was done, and with that has been all this kind of turmoil and conflict and tension and resentment. And with that, there's been a life, I can assure you, which has not been blessed in many ways because of it. The problem is, this day, we are fallen human beings. And one of the ingredients which is missing from our lives and from our hearts is peace. And we have a great word to be given, and God gives it to us, even in this world which is utterly chaotic. There is a place, and there is really now an experience that you can know of peace this very day. It's wonderful to be able to share it with you and to minister it to you. What happens is this, is that when the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, don't want to shock you, but he said, don't think I've come to bring peace, but I've come to bring a sword. That's what I've come to bring. But those who do come to him, you will know of a peace in your heart. You may not know peace from the world, but you can know peace in it. And God is the God of peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And those who come to him and who are born again are those who are to be the children, peacemakers. And they will be called the children of God. And you know, in our lives this morning, there's not anything else more that is more precious to us, the benefits, the blessings which come of knowing and knowing the peace with God, knowing peace of God, knowing peace being made even through our lives, because this is what the Bible says. Pursue peace and holiness, for without which no one shall see God. And as much as you can read your Bibles this morning and fall out with everybody around you, the reality is you'll never know God and you'll never see him unless you know this in your life. The Bible tells us, depart from evil, but pursue peace. And in this very verse this morning, I'm just going to do like three things. One, to try and inspire us to want peace and be peacemakers in our lives. And then to explain to you who the peacemakers really are, and perhaps then give some little word to encourage us of what the Bible instructs us, that we then may be called the children of God. And first of all, just this wonderful blessing. Blessed are the peacemakers. That's it. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And that word blessed, I know, is translated happy in many versions, but we also know there's a fullness of that word. It means of well-being, of sound mind, of having that, you know, life which is fully balanced in every facet, in every way. It's a statement that is made. Blessed are the peacemakers. And you know something of the truth of this very fact. When we think, for example, of what's taking place out there in the Ukraine and Russia, countries which are at war, and you think of the devastation that has taken place in just a few months, everything is being destroyed. Homes and towns, facilities, futures, ambitions, hope, health, education. Do you see, when war comes to a land, it destroys so much. And we have known in our years, have we not, 75 years of peace in this land, so to speak. And we've known the blessings of that. Things are able to go on and prosper. You've never had it so good. And we have a standard of life and of living which is different. And that comes when there's peace to be known. When you think of the God's word and you think of David, who was the great warrior. And don't get me wrong, you can buy peace at too heavy a cost. You can pay too much for it. When Chamberlain came back and said, peace in our times, It's never without truth and it's never without justice, and people have died for it. But when it does come, like then in the reign of his son, King Solomon, the King of Peace, they prospered like never before. We've experienced it, every one of us, I'm sure, in church life at some times. Church life is never like an harmonious kind of line which just goes like this and goes up. There'll be moments in times of Christian experience where there's real difficulty, disunity, a lack of harmony, and you know what's coming in all that. But then you've also known, haven't you, times where people have been together of one mind and of one heart, and there's been a kind of a seedbed within the fellowship. It's been a place where spiritual lives have grown and come to strength and been established and fruition. There's been that moment of stability in one's life, and you've experienced it spiritually. And you've known this also, don't we, in our little homes. Any home which is filled with tension and animosity, and children grow up in that. And with that, you don't realize the effects that that can have upon the well-being and the security of just little children. And then there's that where there's a home where there's love which is being expressed, and homes which have got boundaries, and homes which don't leave things come in. And in those homes, children have grown, and they look back and they say, those were blessed days, blessed days. I remember taking a funeral a number of years ago, and I went to the farm, and as you find out about the history of the farm and just tell me something about your life, I remember what they said, oh, the best days when we were together as a family, and it was mum and dad, and there was, the brothers, and we all worked together. We were together. We had our jobs on the farm. They prospered. They really prospered. And you know that it's blessed. Peace and blessedness, they come together. And you know it more than anything else because of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You know when it says, blessed are the peacemakers. There's no one more blessed than Jesus Christ. No one has more honor this day, more glory, more majesty. The fame of Jesus Christ is being spoken this day in this place. You say, what was it about Jesus Christ? Oh, he was the one, the great Prince of Peace. He's the one who came in, came from heaven, came to this earth, the one who came to make peace. The Lord Jesus Christ, you need to know that. When he came into this earth, wherever he went, he said, peace to you, peace to you. And where he came and dealt with people, he put something in their lives they never experienced before. But his great work, as you know, he's the one who makes great peace between God and man. That was his great work. And you know he did it in his blood and with his arms and on that cross of Calvary. He was able to reconcile. He really was him who is in one person, both God and man, joining together that which was separated. Do you know Jesus Christ? I could tell you today with your conscience which harms and which is guilty and polluted, with your mind, you see, which has been far alienated from God, wandering from him. Jesus Christ this day, do you know if you come to him, he's the one who is the great peace maker. And he's able to give you peace with God by his precious blood. And the Lord Jesus Christ this day, he's able to bring peace into your life by his word in which he gives. In your turmoil and confusion, in the chaos, in the mixed up madness of our existence, the Lord Jesus Christ says to you, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in me. The Lord Jesus Christ can speak into that soul which is like the waves on the sea and the turmoil which blows in it, and he can say, Be still, be still. And in a moment, you can know of that experience in your life. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? We're talking of something, of the price and the achievements and the work he's done. Jesus Christ can give you this day great peace. He is the peacemaker. And you know, billions, we're talking now, billions of people are able to give testimony to you that Jesus Christ has brought a quietness and calmness to the human soul that no one else can give. There are peace troublers in this world, but he is the peacemaker. There are peace smokers in this world, but he's the peace achiever. And when you come to him, I tell you, you will find that which you never experienced before. It's hard to explain. Obviously, our conscience is at peace. Obviously, our guilt has been dealt with. But you know, but the presence of knowing him in your life, I don't know if you've ever found the right one. But when you find the right one, you're at peace. And when you come to Jesus Christ, oh, he is the one in which you can know. And you come to him by faith, and you take of him. And what we're saying, first of all, is this, is those who are ever going to be peacemakers are going to need peace in their lives. And you come to Jesus Christ. And then look, that's just to inspire you to come and know him. But then also to explain to you something of this verse this morning. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Now, I don't want you to get it wrong. I don't want you to think for a moment, because you're the type of person who doesn't cause any trouble, that somehow this makes you a child of God. This is not what the verse is saying. The verse is saying that, look, those who come to know Jesus Christ, they will know of this in their lives, and they will also then become themselves. One of the characteristics of a Christian will be this. It's really interesting when you read these Beatitudes, because these attitudes are speaking then of an attitude, so to speak, of what each and every Christian should have. And when you get to verse 9, they tell me that verse 9 is the seventh beatitude. And 7 is the number of perfection. And one of the beatitudes then, which come and should cover then the Christian. Look, if people talk of perfectionism, well, let's have it in this one. Peace in our lives. Someone who's a peacemaker. And when a person becomes a Christian, you are then a child of God. God is the God of peace. We can't even begin to imagine what it is that the one who's seated on the throne with all the chaos in this world, in the universe in which we live, there is one on the throne who is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And you know, there has never been a very thought of anxiety in the Godhead. There's never been a tremor of worry. There's never been a moment of friction. There's never been a sense of any rumbling. It's just total, utter peace. But when a person becomes a Christian, here's the verse that you want. It's found there in John's Gospel. And he tells us this, for example, in verse 12 of chapter 1. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. To those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And when a person then comes and believes in Jesus Christ and receives him, you're born of God. The nature of God, the Spirit of God is come within you. And then he's saying this, that those who are peacemakers, they will be called the sons of God. That will be a manifestation which will be made known. Now, it's not like what happened a number of years ago, many years ago now, when Jimmy Carter was president of the United States of America. He was in peace negotiations, a famous moment, really, between Israel and Egypt. And he was the negotiator. And what he was successful in his negotiations at the time. And he brought the Prime Minister of Israel, and he brought the Prime Minister of Egypt, and he brought them together, and he clasped their hands, and he said, the children of God. One Muslim, one Jew, and one Christian. No, it's not that. That's not what he's saying. He says, no, these will be called the children of God. These are those now who are born of God. It's not, you see, people who just look for peace in this world. Have you ever met the person and you say, what do you want for Christmas? Oh, I just want peace. And what do you want in your life? We all want that. And then you've got that person who decides, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take myself out of the busyness of the rat race of the world. And I'm going to take myself down to some little place in West Wales. And I'm going to find myself a little house away from everybody else. And then they come and they say, do you know something? I just found it. I was years there in the city. And now look what I found. Oh, my days. I only go and see people when I go shopping once a week. Do you know what they call you? A recluse. They don't call you the child of God. And there are others then. And they've come and they've got this big kind of idea of what you need in this world. You talk about peacemakers. I tell you what we are. We are people now who are wanting to get into harmony. Harmony with nature. That's how they talk. In the rhythm of the seasons and of life. Look, it doesn't say, blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the children of earth. Haven't you seen the weather forecast? Aren't you part of it? Downpours, scorching heat, wind which will drive you, frost which will freeze you. That won't bring peace into your life. That somehow, you know, people are going to look at you and say, yes, there's a child of God. And then there'll be those who perhaps will come to a place like Narberth. And they've come, you know, for a certain reason. It doesn't say, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of Narberth. Of course not. And you say, well, why is that? Well, then you're part of a community. You're part, are you not, of that which takes place. It looks idyllic. It seems wonderful. The people are pleasant to you when you're down on holiday. But then you get into the nitty-gritty and the politics and the little things which have taken place and what's happened over the years and all the rest of it. No, this is now dealing with those who have become the very children of God. Let me just read you this. It was part of our reading this morning. It's found there in Ephesians chapter 4. That you have learnt, and you have so learnt Christ, and you've been taught by him. And this is what you are, therefore putting away lying. You're speaking truth to your neighbour. You're angry at times, but you don't sin. You don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You're people who don't give place to the devil. You don't steal from your neighbour. You labour with your hands. You give what is good. You don't have corrupt communication out of your mouth. But what you're speaking is for edification, for the building up, for these very things. You implant grace to the hearers. You let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Your people who are kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, not bearing one another's grudges. But when someone comes, even so as Christ forgave you. And when that takes place, do you know, in a world in which we live, you'll be called the children of God. And what a thing to be called. And one day we will be called, won't we? Before the angels in eternity. These people who have come to Jesus Christ know of that which has been brought into our hearts, whose lives have been drastically changed. But they're the children of God. Now let me just speak for a while very practically on this very subject of how then, because here it is, blessed are the peacemakers. Not the peace thinkers, not the peace escapers, not the peace troublers, the peacemakers. Not those who can tell you all day, I got peace in my heart. Peacemakers. Let's hear about them. We have that psalm which tells us, I have dwelt long enough for those who are not at peace. They are for hatred, I am for peace. Let me just talk to you about what it is then to be a peacemaker this very morning. That when that happens in our lives, something should be part of our experience. It's massive in the Bible. I mean, what God expects for us in our lives, of all our doing, of all our religious works, this should be high up on our agenda. And the first thing for us to be a peacemaker, do you know, one really needs to be a peace prayer into our lives. So for example, in the life in which we live in this world, for anything to take place, it can only come from God, from the things of God. In the world in which we live, we pray for the peace of the nations. We pray, obviously, for peace, don't we, in our nation. We pray, should we not, for the, you know, peace in the church. There was a greeting that used to take place, and they would share that with one another. That's something good, something to be done. But you need to pray for it. But not only that, but in one's very life, in the home, in community, in the tensions, in your relationships with people that you have. You can have them with the closest of people. And you need to pray in to that very relationship. Because it's impossible. You may be for it, but they are not. There are things which are outside of our control. And there's no way we have the means and the ability to do so. One of the things you need to do, pray this morning for that one which you have fallen out with. Ask for that relationship to be restored. It's a blessedness which you can't afford to lose in one's life. Do you know, there's something else that you need to do to be a peacemaker. The Bible tells us that we need to learn the ways of peace. And God has something against us because we have not learned those steps, says the prophet. And in our lives, it's very easy, is it not, to fall out and to take the huff and to be then one which has been offended. Do you know there are things that we need to learn in our lives? The proverb says that a rough answer stirs up wrath. And then in our words, we realize that we overstepped the mark. And in our lives, we realize that we didn't say what we wanted to say in the way we should say it. We say wrong things. We say things that perhaps should be said, but in the wrong manner. And all this needs to be learned from the very things of God. And then you've got to learn, have you not? This is what the Bible says, that the works of righteousness produce peace. And in your life, in the home in which you live, there are things where it's like a war zone. It's because simply this, that in our lives, when you're doing that which is wrong and you are living in such a way, look, that will never bring contentment or quietness to the human soul. You need to know of the ways of God. Do you know, you need to know and learn that there are things and moments of times when someone comes to you and says sorry, that your heart will be forgiving, immediately forgiving. You know, forgiving not without any other things said. You just simply forgive. When someone comes, you know, with an outstretched arm, when someone brings that box of chocolates, when someone brings that bunch of flowers, you don't throw them away. You don't leave the chocolates at the site. You definitely don't give them back. You've got to know the ways of peace in one's life. You have to learn it in one's experience. You see, for peace to come and to be a person of peace, a person needs to know of the very fruit of the Holy Spirit. It comes not from ourselves. It's that we're engrafted in Christ, and one of the great blessings is love, joy, and peace in our experience. You'll be surprised on how these things can happen, and you may not realize it. Now look, this is one of the things that makes me laugh. It makes my wife laugh anyway. I can never get my head around it. And it's just someone in the town. When I talk to them and speak to them, it makes my wife laugh. It brings me a chuckle in my own life too. They say these words, "Chris, you bring me such peace." Sorry, that is just not what I normally bring to people's lives. I'm the last person to bring that into a person's life. And yet, for some reason, this person who I meet and have a chat with, whatever, I cannot work it out. But there may be the words that you speak, there may be something that you do, there may be in the very midst of everything, what's going on in the world this day, you are a Christian and you're not shaken by the wind, and you're a Christian and you're not moved by those things which are happening all around, and they look to you, and in that looking they find that peace even themselves. You have to learn those things. You're no longer a wall builder. You are a bridge builder. You're one who's going to think of those steps which are going to be taken. These are big things. Look, blessed, really blessed. You're to work and be a maker in what's broken down. But you're to be a witness too, because you are a peacemaker. And in your witness, you are to tell others about the great peace which they can find with God. You know that they'll never know that in their lives until they themselves come to Jesus Christ. And it is going to be your work to go into your family and into the community and share with them that word of the Lord Jesus. No one else can bring it to them. And those which are enemies of God, you can tell them of the great reconciliation and that which has been made by the blood of his cross. And those who feel the burden and the worries and the turmoil of life, that there's a Savior who can take the burden from them. And those who do know of the guilt, you can say, "I can tell you there's one who can, wash you clean." And you come and you bring that word in to their lives. Peacemakers. Do you know, it's a word that's desperately needed. It's desperately needed in our own orbit of life in which we are living. It's a word which is needed, do you know, in the life of churches this day. You can't put a price on it. And do you know, people will come in and they'll say, do you know that place where I went to worship? Do you know there was a harmony? There was a unity. There was a oneness. There was a calmness. There was something which was not found anywhere else, but you desperately need it. We desperately need it because of this. Pursue peace with all men, without exception, because without which you will not see God. I mean, I don't know of any greater incentive for any daft word that's been spoken to you, for any little someone who's ignored you, for things that people have done to you, that you think, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to bury that hatchet. I am not going to live on it. And I'll be lovely to be at one with them again, but I really want to know God, and I don't want anything to come in between me and my great God. You can read this as much as you like. You fall out with everybody else. You don't know God. And you can come to him. It's blessed. Blessed. You know that. And in that seedbed, God brings out blessings that we cannot even begin to imagine. Look.